Amen. Well, it is good to see everyone, isn't it? It's good to be back in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Well, it's just what we call, they got set up for the Father's Day. I was thinking about that. I said, Lord, we need to be one every day, don't we? A real one. A real good one. And may the Lord grant that to be so. And when you get a little age on, you can be a good granddaddy. Then when you get old, you can be a great granddaddy, can't you? But it's all, you'd be surprised what effect one can have on the family. Well, let's see. I know we've got at least three preachers here, Brother Billy and Brother Calvin and Brother Donnie. Is any other preachers here? Now, you know what a blessing it is to have all y'all. They don't know this, but I'm going to please and get them to stand and say something for the Lord, every one of them. And I want you to say something, too. Might want to say something about Father's Day. I don't know. Before, I just got a little short word to bring. I believe it's short. I don't know. I won't promise. But the Lord has laid something on my heart. And maybe it's something on your brother's heart. And I always used to say, well, I don't know how all that goes. Well, we just try to follow the leading of the Lord over here. And I believe the Lord nudged me about this a while ago. And so if you've got something on your heart, I want y'all to share it. I think I'll start. I'm not going to tell you how old they are, but I think I know who's oldest and who's the youngest of these. And I think Brother Billy's the youngest, then Brother Calvin and Brother Donnie, I believe. Right? Then I'm older than any of them, so they can't say anything about their age, can they? Come on, Brother Billy, share something for the Lord.
House, good to be with each one of you. I was looking and feasting some things this week in John 14. I do want to say a little bit about, because we are living in troublous times, and because we live in troublous times doesn't mean we have to be troubled, does it?
No.
And Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled, and John 14 is going to deal with that. And you know, people this size, a group this size, where you got different issues going on in your life, but whatever those things are, Jesus knows about, and he's not interested in us being troubled, Brother Donnie, whether it's our loved ones in the hospital, or it's affliction of any kind, or sword, or problems with the children, or problems at home, or problems in the church. He just don't want us to be troubled. And that's where he started the chapter. I'm going to be very quick for these other brothers. Look in John 14 if you got your Bible. Jesus started out the chapter, and he is the only speaker in the chapter. I like that. And he said here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so I think that so much of our trouble, we either decide to harbor it and hold it, or we decide to give it to the Lord. And what determines that is if we listen and heed what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he goes on and talking about, he's dealing with the disciples right here of his going away. And so he tells them he's going to go away and he's going to come again. And they're trying to get their head wrapped around, just as we would, how all of this is going to happen. But fast forward a little bit over into the 13th verse. I want to key in on 13, 14, and 15 just a moment. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Father, take these verses this morning, and God, speak them to our heart, I pray. Minister to every need. God, there may be one that's lost this morning and just don't know if they can trust you. And they're wrestling with the fact of, can I put all my marbles in the sack with the Lord Jesus? Can I trust him? God, I pray you'd speak peace, Lord, to the one, God, that's disturbed about so many things in life's way. I pray the Spirit of God would breathe peace to us, God. Lord, you're the peace speaker. And I pray you'll do it now. In his name we ask it. Amen. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But twice he said in 13 and 14 that whatsoever ye ask in my name, and he reiterated it I heard somebody use that word one time. I don't know what it means, but it sounded like it fit right there, brother. And so he reiterated it again in the 14th verse. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and if you ask anything in my name, I will. That's an absolute. I will do it. I like that. And see this now, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now fast forward here a little over into the 27th verse. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. We read this in verse 1, neither let it be afraid. And so here, the disciples, their whole life is about to be turned upside down because the one they have followed, Brother Calvin, the one they have forsook all and followed is about to be gone. And so he's going to be crucified, and then God's going to raise him on the third day, and he's going to ascend back to the Father. And all of these events are about to happen. Their life's going in a whirlwind, and Jesus knows it, but he wants them to understand one thing. Your heart ought not to be troubled. And so whatever comes our way, our heart ought to be still. When he says, peace be still, that's just not for the waves. That peace be still is for us, the believer. And so we're to be still and know that God is God. We're to be still and know we can trust him. And sometimes the circumstances come. It's like when the big storms come in. And so it's hurricane season. We understand that. Sometimes we ought to flee, and sometimes we ought to just be still. And this is what God's saying unto Jesus, is saying to the disciples right here. So he deals with this fact, and he deals with this truth. And so we see it here. Watch now. Go over to 15:11. I'll show you this real quick, and I'm going to close. But watch this. In 15:11, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus wants a church that's not troubled. They're not a troubled church. And so what about the day-to-day deeds of life, the things that come our way? What do? With them? We file them. We deal with them. We process them. And we file them over here in the untroubled category because Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled. And he said, my joy, verse 11, these things I've spoken that my joy might remain where? In you. And so we find it here. Jesus wants us full of joy and without trouble. And the only way we have that, church, is to rest in him. Isn't that so? And so when he says, let not your heart be troubled, that's exactly what he meant. Whatever comes our way, we have no control over. He don't want us troubled. Things we do have control over, we do the best we can. He still don't want us to be troubled. And people say this. People say, well, preacher, I flubbed the dub. I messed it up. I ruined it as hard as it could be ruined. And so what do? You pick up the pieces and you trust in him and you let not your heart be troubled. Amen. And so we watch it in the disciples' life. We see it when Peter said the wrong thing at the right time and the right thing at the wrong time. And we do that too, don't we? You say, well, I made a mistake over there. That's all right. Those things, what are they? Where are our sins, preacher? Forgiven under the blood. They're forgiven. They're put away. We confess them. We give them to God. And he deals with them. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes the new believer, you know what happens? God saves people. And the new believer thinks, well, I messed it up. And surely the Lord couldn't use me. But he can. He can. And he will. And Peter, three times in the garden, what'd he do? Or at Pilate's judgment hall. He denied him. He denied him. He denied him. And he went away. And after he had a cussing fit, he went off and wept bitterly when he heard the old cock crow, and he remembered the words of the Lord. And when he looked at Jesus and Jesus looked at him, those weren't piercing eyes of condemnation, were they? They were eyes that said, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. And it's what God wants for us, church. We need to rest in him. What is the grace of God? Resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that be so.
Good word. Don't tell nobody some of the best messages I ever heard at camp meeting was 10-minute messages like that. Amen. You get about six of them up there and give them 10 minutes. Of course, I don't have no watch, but that's perfect, Brother Billy. Thank God for it. And but they had a watch in. They come pull on a coattail. It was hard to get some of them to stop, Brother Calvin. But you know what? I said these men didn't know this, but they had something on their heart, I know. Because God wouldn't lay that on my heart. And sitting over a while ago, and it's a little different, but I think it's going to be a blessing, and I think God will use it. Amen. Come on, Brother Calvin, share your words on your heart.
Yes, sir. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't he good all of the time? Amen. I'm glad that I know that today. I'm going to go to a verse of scripture that is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is known by a lot of the biblical students, scholars of our time, as being a Bible within the Bible in and of itself. And it's a very interesting book in the Bible. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to do so. Read it all, read it consecutively, and read it often, because there's so much truth there to be discovered and leaned on. The book of Isaiah, chapter number, I believe it's 65 is where I want you to turn to, in verse number 15. Happy Father's Day to all the men of this sanctuary this morning. We're so grateful for all of you. May the Lord's blessings be with you as you endeavor keeping on in fatherhood, being an example. Raising your children, if you've already got them grown, just simply living on, being there for those kids as they need guidance and help. I tell you what, I learned as I got older after that I was grown that I still needed my dad very much. I leaned on him, Brother Ike, and I confided in him a lot. But a few years ago, the Lord got ready for dad, and now dad rests with the Lord. So that's the way life works. Isaiah 65, verse number 15, let me turn your attention to these verses. I appreciate what Brother Billy said, and I think maybe some of what I say will kind of tie into where he was. He says here, the prophet, this is a plea, an earnest plea that is sent up, a prayer. He said, look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless, notice this, folks, it's Father's Day. The prophet said, doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, and thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return from for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it, but a little while our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Notice that profound statement, folks. He says, we are thine. God, we belong to you. That's what he's saying. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. I want you to notice these verses of Scripture and think with me for just a moment or two. For so long a time after that I was saved, I don't know why, but I think maybe a little bit of an out of balance look as to the nature of God. Brother Billy, I thought of God more from the judgmental standpoint of His nature, the way that one day He is going to judge the heart, the life of every human being. He is going to do that. That is the kind of God. He is faithful in every dimension of His divine nature. And that demands, if God is a loving God, it demands also that He is a God that will one day judge. Right. But I thought of God always upon the premise of that side of His nature. It brought a lot of things probably that was out of balance within me. But after a while, after very carefully reading, studying, and searching, praying, earnestly asking after God, seeking to know God, He finally helped me to understand that there is totally another side to this great God. And it is out of this today that I stand here. It is out of this that I have come to know that God is indeed our Father. He is indeed the one who has beckoned us, who has summoned us, who has called us out of a world of darkness into a world in which there is nothing but His marvelous light. He done that all out of His loving kindness and of His tender mercy. Right. Folks, we need to understand today that there is a side of God that is beyond the judgment side of God. Doubtless there you are our Father, the prophet wrote. In other words, there was an assurance, a peaceful assurance that had filled his heart and his life as to the fatherly side of God. Now, let me kind of make this relevant both to that time as well as where we are, because there are some very wonderful similarities in where the prophet was in his time as to where we are in our time. Folks, as we look at the world scene today in an overall picture, I have never seen so much confusion and chaos as there is in our world today. Brother Billy, I believe there is more both religious and political confusion in our time than we have ever witnessed perhaps before in the history of our world. If you will pick up the history books in relation to where I've read to you from this morning and read in relation to the day and the time that this verse of Scripture is written, it is very much like where we are. The prophet realized something in his time. Notice the words. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down." Right. He said, "For then the mountains would flow down at thy presence." In other words, he seen God the Father in his fatherly nature as being an answer to every known dilemma of the day. Oh, hallelujah, folks. I do got an answer this morning. Yes, sir, there is an answer. Brother Ike mentioned it a while ago. It is for the intervention of the living God into the affairs of an ungodly world. I don't think anything else is going to fix it, Brother Ike. I don't mean to disturb partisanship necessarily this morning, but I really don't believe Democrats is going to fix it. I don't believe Republicans are going to fix it. I do not believe that some heading that is called an independent is going to fix it. I think only God can fix it this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I think it has gone so far that it is beyond the reach of any human being. No matter what we look at and no matter what we talk about today, God ultimately is going to be the answer. And because we know this morning that God is a Father that possesses a fatherly nature about Him in its totality, we can know by that God will reach in if we will believe and trust Him to reach in. Right. You see, He mentions here, His tender mercies. When you commonly think of tenderness, you don't just automatically think of daddy. You think of daddy as being more or less the authoritarian, the authoritative one in the household. You think of tenderness from the side of mama maybe. But in this, we learn that our God has a tender side. And you hear the prophet. He said, doubtless thou art our Father. Folks, his appeal is to the fatherly side, that tender side, that loving and gentle side, but yet also the side of God that desires what is right out of all of humanity. He appeals to that gentleness and that loving kindness and that tender mercy. And he's asking him, oh God, would you break into the affairs of this ungodly world? Everything is so mixed up and so messed up and so out of line with a divine standard. Folks, God is still God, and I want you to know He can turn the tide on everything. He really can. So, as Brother Billy alluded to a while ago, resting in that peacefulness, love, and presence of God, putting things aside and allowing the peace of God to take a hold and to take control, I'm fully persuaded that the presence of God is the answer to it all this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. God coming, Brother Danny, freshly and newly over the landscape of this society that has gotten so far from God. But I believe we find a very important key here, and that is, Brother Ike, we need to ask Him to come.
Amen.
We need to invite Him. One more time.
Yes.
And perhaps again and again and again and again until we see Him break through.
Right.
Until we see Him break through to where He turns our services upside down.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be wonderful for Him to disturb the routine? Wouldn't it be glorious to see the altars fill up in the song service? Wouldn't it be wonderful for Him to build a fire up under all of us who name that precious name one more time? To where we can't be still. Wouldn't it be so wonderful just to be a singing a song and see folks standing up all over the sanctuary in adoration toward the holy God, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting? I kind of tend to believe that He'll stir the church up before He will the world, and through the church, the world will be stirred up.
Amen.
That's always been God's way.
Yes.
Doubtless, Thou art our Father.
Yes.
Oh, that Thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down one more time. He's saying, God, You're our hope, and You're our only hope. That's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's pray as the prophet did. That Thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, Brother Donnie. Thank you, Brother Calvin. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Well, I preached Wednesday night, so I didn't expect this morning. Most of you weren't here, so I believe I just preached the same message again. And nah, I'm picking at you. You know that. Amen. Boy, I didn't plan on coming this morning. But as I sat in my chair, drank a cup of coffee, I said, you know, I'm feeling better. I just have to go. And Ann said, you're going to get sick. I said, well, I'm already sick. So y'all just stay away from me. Maybe, I don't think what I have is catching, amen. But I love y'all, and I love my pastor, and what a blessing it always is to be with you. I'm going to read one verse to you this morning, and
hope I can read it without weeping. To me, it's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Now, boy, it'd be hard to pick out what the most beautiful verse in the Bible is, wouldn't it? Boy, there's some good ones in there. And I'm going to prepare a message on this verse. I hadn't yet. But we're going to read it this morning. This verse was burning in my heart as I was driving back from Mississippi and thinking about my father and Father's Day. So, Brother Billy, I'm going to get close to you. We're going to go to John chapter 13 rather than John chapter 14. John chapter 13, we're just going to read verse number 1. John 13, verse 1. I'm going to wait till you get there because you need to not just listen to me, but you need to read it. Let it burn itself into your eyes and then into your heart. John chapter 13, verse number 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the, what's that next word? Father, and I like this, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. My, what a verse. My, what a message and what we need today. When you watch the news, you see what's going on in our country. It's easy to get depressed and say, well, I guess we're going to be the last generation. But then you get to thinking, well, you know what? I'm looking at the world, and I'm not looking at God. For you see, God never changes. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And I'm so glad of that. And to know that because he doesn't change, he said here, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Now, we go and we preach at the prison every Tuesday night, and probably there's not a man there in that prison whose family has not been destroyed. We live in a day when 2 out of every 3 marriages end in divorce. And I think, my goodness, what we need in our nation is some fathers that will love his own unto the end. As I spoke to my daddy this morning, he's my stepfather, but he's the only father I've ever known. My biological father, he lost track of me at age 9, and I never saw him for over 20 years. When somebody called me and said he was out in the hospital and he was dying of cancer, well, you know what, I hate to say it, but I really didn't care. Now, I wasn't a saved man at the time. But I said, you know, I guess I better go see him. So I went out to the hospital and I sat down at the foot of his bed. He was out. But directly he came around, you know, and I said, hey, and he began to talk with me, and we talked for a good while. And then he looked up at me and he said, who are you? You work here? And I said, you don't know who I am, do you? Which is odd because it looked just like him. So he looked up at me and he said, He said, "Yeah, you're Donnie, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I am. I am." I had a biological father. I'm glad that I was able to reconcile with him before he died. But my stepdaddy came into my life when I was age 9, and I was raised by women. I always tell the prisoners it's a wonder I didn't turn out gay, but I didn't. I was raised by women. Of course, they get a kick out of that too, but that's the truth. I was an asthmatic when I was 12 years old. I just weighed 60 pounds. We were living in Oklahoma, and it was cold winter. Snows up there a lot. And I said, "Pa," I said, "I want to go out and play." You see, I'd been mothered by a bunch of women, like I said. And he kind of took the attitude of Esther, who said, "I'm going to go into the king unauthorized, and if I perish, I perish." He said, "Well," he said, we've hovered over him all this time, and he ain't got no better. Said, "Just let him go. And if he perishes, he perishes." And so they let me go out into that cold, and I played and played all day. And guess what? I survived. And from that time on, they let me go. And that was the best thing they ever did to me, because it began to build me up. And it turned out I was a firefighter for 30 years. You have to be a little bit of a man to be a firefighter. But my dad was saying this morning, and you know, I know so many people that have stepfathers, and I cannot tell you hardly any that have a good relationship with those children. But I loved my stepdaddy from the first time I met him, and he's always treated me like his son, and that was what he said this morning. Now, if you call my dad, if I call him this afternoon, he's going to say the same thing that he just said to me a little bit ago. He says the same thing over and over, and he says it fast. But he said, "I always tell my buddies," he said, "I tell them that I've got a stepson that loves me more than my own children." We've always had, and that's not completely true. I want you to know that. But we've always been real close. And he's now 83 years old, fixing to be 84. And he's loved me to the end. Now, you'll find, especially in John's gospel, that they tried to kill Jesus several times. Tried to shove him over a cliff. They would try to stone him at times. And then it would say this: "But they were not able to, for his hour was not yet come." But here, the time had come that Jesus knew that he was fixing to part out of this world. The last thing on his heart was the care of those that were his, just like Brother Billy just spoke to you about. And some of the most beautiful verses you'll read in the Bible begin at this point through the Gospel of John. Because what he's doing in this hour is bringing his children unto his bosom. Now you have to understand, they had no idea what was about to happen. It had not clicked. They did not comprehend. They expected him to go to Pilate's house and jerk him off of his seat of authority and take his place and deliver the children of Israel from the domination of the Roman Empire. But if he'd have done that, then you and I would still be in our sins. So even though they did not understand what was coming upon the world and what was fixing to come upon them in their life, he brought them unto himself and he loved them unto the end. If you've got a father here this morning, I pray you've got somebody that will love you to the end. And I feel so sorry for people who believe that they can lose their salvation as though at some point in time their father will cease to love him. Isn't it wonderful? No. Son, God's not going to stop loving you. Amen. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you do. Amen. That father, that mother, they're going to love you. And so it doesn't matter what state this world gets in, he's still going to have children. I'm confident that sitting in the midst of this congregation here this morning, there's some young men and there's some young women that God's going to call and raise up for the generation that is to come. Elijah said, "God, I'm the only one that's left. We may as well call this thing to a close and you take me out of here." God looked at him and said, "Son, you've got your eyes on what's going on around you and you've taken them off me." He said, "I've got 7,000 just like you, son, hadn't bowed a knee to Baal." Amen. So I want to tell you something this morning, if it's the last thing I ever say to you, God will never stop loving you. So the best thing you can do this morning is just let him embrace you. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father.
say amen right now. I want to say amen anyhow, don't you? Thank you, Brother Donnie. I believe that was from the Lord, all three of that, don't you? God sent it to us. I was thinking about it. I just want to share just a few words. I was thinking about what God said over in the book of Ezekiel 22:30. He said, salt for a man. Salt for a man. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Sarah couldn't find any. Couldn't find any. If you read that chapter, you ought to read it before the day's over. You'll see how wicked it was. Remind me a lot of today. Had false prophets prophesying peace, daubing the walls with untempered mortar, telling them lies, speaking thus saith the Lord when he hadn't spoken. That's a lot of our problem today. Calling, wouldn't call what was good, good, and what was evil, evil. On and on and on. It tells us a good explanation of what's going on in America today. But he said, God saw for a man. There's been some standing gaps. I was thinking about what Jeremiah around he was, but I found another verse, Brother Donnie. You know, in the book of Jeremiah, you know what God told him? He said, don't pray for them no more. He said, they've crossed the line. I'm paraphrasing it, but it's what he told him. Don't intercede for him no more. They thrown him in jail, thrown him into prison. Didn't want to hear what he had to say. Wanted smooth talk and itching ears, and that's what the Bible said in the last days would come. Those that have wanting to hear the smooth things and the things that tickle the ears. But folks, that's not what we need to hear. It's what his brother was sharing. It's true. God loves us. God does love us. And he won't ever quit loving us. Thank God for that. But I'll tell you what, he still hates sin. What's still sin, still sin. And we don't need to try to smooth it off and make it not be nothing to it, because they are. But you know, there are some, until a certain point, you can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. As sure as I'm talking to you this morning, you can. I remember what God said about Abraham. We need some fathers and some men that would be like Abraham. You know what the Bible said about him in the book of Genesis? He said, I know him. I know him, said he'll command his household after him. Oh, thank God for that. We need some men that'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need some that'll be like Abraham that will say, hey, I know him. God said, I know Abraham. He will intercede. And Abraham did intercede for the Sodom cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if God could have found, listen, he kept bringing him down from 50. The 10 still couldn't find 10 righteous in the city. And so he said, but you know what? Guess how Lot got out? He who God remembered. He remembered Abraham, didn't he? He remembered Abraham, his uncle. You know, I'm glad, glory to God, I had some kinfolk that loved God. I'm glad I had a mom and daddy that loved God. I'm glad I had, a family that loved God, that had mercy and was praying for me and standing in the gap. Hallelujah. And I'm glad God remembered those prayers and those intercessories and his interceding. But thank God this morning. We're living in an hour and a day. And listen, like we've never listened, as our brother said a while ago, it looks like worse than we've ever seen it. Worse than it's been, I know. Listen, probably since the flood. That's how bad it's getting. It's awful. It's an awful place. But I want to tell you something. God is still good, and God is still merciful. You know, I was thinking about old Moses. He stood in the breach. Did you know what the Bible said? Listen, first of all, he was out there on the backside of the desert. He was out there on the backside of the desert, and God spoke to him through that burning bush.
You know, I was thinking about him and old Joshua both. You know what? Moses, you know what he said? God said to Moses, said, Moses, get them shoes off. He said, the place that you're standing on is holy ground. And Moses met God there in the wilderness. And listen, I'm telling you, it was a wonderful meeting with God. Listen, it sustained him. It gave him grace to face all he faced through those years with the children of Israel. But listen, there was a time, the Bible said in Psalm 106, I believe it's 106. You know what God said about Moses? He said that he would have destroyed that generation had it not been for Moses. Listen, that stood in the breach, stood in the gap, and prayed and interceded for him. You know what? Listen, he did. God said, I'll just destroy him and make of another nation. And Moses said, oh, God. He said, don't do it. He interceded with him. He said, they'll tell that you're not able to carry me. And God interceded for him. Who knows why you were who you are this morning. Somebody interceded for you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody interceded for you. It might have been that father that day. He thanked God. And Moses did. He interceded with God. And guess what? God didn't destroy them all. Oh, no, he didn't. A lot of them got destroyed in the wilderness. But listen, he never wiped them out, did he? No, he kept a remnant, and he still got one today. Listen, somebody said, how in the world did Jews keep get wiped out? All they went through in the Holocaust, everywhere else. I'll tell you why. Same God. He's restored. He's got him a remnant. And he always will have. Well, you can go on through the Bible. You can still see one after another that stood in the gap and made up the hedge. Sure did, didn't he? It wasn't just Moses. It wasn't just no. Listen, old Joshua did the same thing. You know what the Bible said? He told the children of Israel, you know what he said to them? Listen. He said, I want to tell you something. You better choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You see, old Joshua, he met God too. He met the captain of our salvation. He met the Lord himself. He said, you for us or you against us? Oh, he said, I'm the captain of the host. He said, I'm for you. Listen, he was the captain of the army of the Lord. And he met him there and he got done. Listen, he fell down before him. You said, how I know? You said, how you know it was the Lord? Because he fell down and he worshiped him. Hallelujah. He did. And that's what Joshua did. You know what God told him? The same thing. He said, hey, take those shoes off. Loose those shoes from off thy feet. The place where thou standeth is holy ground. God said, get them shoes off. And maybe my brother preacher friend, he's one of them that helped preach Brother Buddy's funeral. You know why? You know what he usually does? He goes to preaching. This is true. He'll take his shoes off. I thought about when he does. I think about what old Moses, and also about old Joshua. He said, "The place you stand in is holy ground." But you know what Joshua said? As far as me and my house. He said, you can choose who you're going to serve. As far as me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. Settled. No ifs and ands or buts about it. We need some daddies. And we need some fathers. It will say, we're going to serve God. I'll tell you something, there's very few ladies and wives that won't follow. If that husband will take a stand and live for God. There's going to be a lot on the judgment day. You know what I'm saying to every father here this morning? Get your household up on Sunday morning and get to the house of God. Not only go to the house of God on Sunday to worship, but get up and go to the house of God and worship, then serve Him all week long. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll worship God and get full of His Spirit and praise Him, you won't have no problem serving Him all week long. Get up and go. Serve Him. So I pray this morning that all these words that have been spoken, all these songs we sung this morning, we'll be like old Joshua. We'll say, as far as me and my house. Now I know you
It's hard to go beyond your house.
You can witness, you can testify. But honey, you're the head of the house. I mean, gentlemen, you're the head of the house. And listen, it's your responsibility. We have a great responsibility to serve God. You know what I think? I always remember about my dad. He wasn't one to tell us, do what I say. But he could double it up. Do what I do and what I say. Before I got saved, I didn't have no problem staying straight around him. Someone said, well, I can't help doing this and that, though. You could, too. I could say a few bad words before I got saved, too, but I never said one around him. And never said one around mama, neither. I weren't too scared of mama's whippings like I was daddy, but she wouldn't know. I wouldn't have stopped right there, Brother Calvin. He got the message. But you know why? I respect, because he said, not only do as I say, but do as I do. And that's what God's saying to us. We're not just to be hearers of the word. We to be what? Doers of the word. And so he said, I'm seeking for a man. In the gap. Make up the hedge, because they didn't find one. We need some Daniels to be dares to be Daniels. You know what Daniel did? He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. And you know what God did? God honored it. You know what they requested for him and his friends? Just give us the vegetables, you might say, we put in our turns. Say, we don't want none of the king's meat. He was a little bit, you know, guy in charge, he was a little bit scared of that. He said, well, y'all come up here and don't look as good as them other folk, and as healthy and all as them others, and said, I'll be one getting in trouble. Huh? That's what he's talking about, wasn't it? He said, well, just give us a try. Let us try it for a few days. Tried it. Went on a few days, and after the time, he said, oh, they're looking pretty good. I can just hear him saying, yeah, they don't look, there's nothing wrong with them. After it's all over, guess what? When he tested them out, they looked better than all those that was eating old king's meat. But he purposed. Daniel 1, you look at it. He purposed in his heart. I think Daniel 1, 2, 1, 2, something like that. He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. Guess what? You need to do the same. Boys and girls, purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Wait. Amen. Wait. Be pure, clean, and holy for the glory of God. You see, what was trouble was in Ezekiel's day, same trouble we got today. They put no difference between the vain and the profane and all known and the clean and unclean. He didn't do it. But I want to tell you something. We'll take a stand for God. And what's happened to us in the church, in our lives in America, even America today, we failed to take that stand. Folks, I'm going to tell you the only thing I'm going to save in America, and we better get at it quick. If there's somebody standing in the gap, make up the hedge. You know, I heard a preacher preach probably 30 years ago at camp meeting, and he was preaching on when America started to toboggan slide the hill, and it's when the home began to. He said, so goes the home. So goes. In our homes, very little home life, very little. Too busy.
It's sad, but it's still so. So our nation's gone. Home, very little home life today. Not much. We're all running. I said we all running. Gone, going. You know what? I was blessed. We was blessed, and we was raised. We didn't have much. 11 of us. Big family. Thank God we was reared on the farm. But you know what? Thank God. Hey, we never hardly knew what town would look like. I'm glad we ever come. We went to school, basically, until we got up. I'm talking about way on up to school. But you know what? When we came home in the evening, guess what? Guess who was there? No, Daddy was at work. Mama was there. I won't ever forget old preacher friend of mine, old Brother Jerome Lewis. He said one day he went home, his mama's always there. He said he was big enough to know the Lord was coming. He said he went home and couldn't find her nowhere. He said he thought the Lord had come, left him. He was working on him in. Hallelujah. But they were usually there. Well, I never forgot that. He said he never did either. He said he went and hunted all over the house, couldn't find her nowhere. I forgot what he said, where she was, but she's usually there. And that was so. That was so. Hallelujah. You know what? Let's stand in the gap. Let's purpose in our heart. Let's be not only the husband, the dad, granddad, great-granddad. You know what still blesses me? I still got some grandkids not grown yet. And them great-grandkids. When they run up to me, some of them about that high, and throw them arms around me, go to hollering, Papa, oh, that's worth millions of worlds. Hallelujah. Brother Kevin, I saw two of your grandchildren, some about two nights this week. They come running up and they're hollering, hey, Uncle Hank. I grab that little nut, hug on her. You know what? Them youngins won't never forget that, and I won't never forget it. And we need to be that example for them. We need to stand in that gap for them. And you know what's sad? It's sad. I heard a preacher say a long time ago, he saw and walked out in the streets in the city one night. He saw all the children just running around playing, and the parents was inside the joints and everywhere else, and he was outside. He looked at him, he said, my God, what choice, what chance has them kids got? What chance they got? But boy, we need to make a stand. Our homes, our families, and our country, and our city, and our nation, and our church, and stand in the gap. Listen. Before God comes. Because I'm telling you, if you think, or if you ever get to thinking that God won't judge America, you might as well get that out of your head. He will. And he is part of his own now. We better stand, folk. Let's get in that gap. Young people, young men and ladies, maybe you're not mamas and daddies yet, maybe you're not even got married yet. But I want to tell you something, purpose in your heart. You're going to love God. We're going to have a Christian home. We're going to walk with God. We're going to serve him. See, God's got a place for you to serve him. May not be where us preachers are this morning. There are four of us here. And they'll probably tell you the same thing I can tell you. They had no idea what God's going to call me to preach. Went to see my brother. Woodard, by to see him, Brother Calvin, yesterday. And we got talking about the Lord. We got talking about Daddy. Talking about Father, then talking about Daddy. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know, I'll never forget what Daddy said. He said, and Daddy was sort of comical about some of these things. He's talking about preachers. And I thought about it too when I was reading them scripture about them. Wouldn't preach nothing. And you know what my daddy said? He said, some of them just bundled up, you know, and went. You know, some just bundled up and went and says, some God sent. Some just bundled up and went. That's the difference in preachers. If God's called you, it's a different message. If you bundle up and go, it's a difference. I want to thank God. We still got some God-called preachers and ministers to preach the gospel. If you read that chapter, some were doing it profane. Some was doing it to shed innocent blood. And they was telling all these things, doing it, listen, for gain. And that's what a lot of it is today. But I want to thank God there's still some preachers that are preach the gospel and tell it like it is and preach the truth for the glory of God. So I'm glad for those that will be honest and truthful for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful we got, you know what, I appreciate you hear Brother Donnie talking about, he appreciates his pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate you preachers too. I want you to know that. You know what? You might not care the name. To me, no. I know some preachers got associate pastors and all that. Well, y'all are, if you call it that. I love you. Love every one of you and love these men. You know why? They got a good spirit about them. Spirit of God. Makes a world of difference. Do you know the Lord? Could you lead your household and family in the ways of God? If you can't or don't, commit that way to Him. But I want to tell you something. Every time you hit another decade, I guess you'd call it, you realize how short life is. I'm closing. Some of us in our 70s are here. And lots of you, more of you, is in your 60s. But you know, we don't have a whole long left, naturally, normally speaking. Do we? I was laying in my bed last night, just me and the Lord there in the house. Had my hand lifted up and got to slip out in that Shekinah glory just a few moments. I said, Lord, it ain't going to be wonderful when we get there. It ain't going to be wonderful when we get there. We have no distractions and we behold Him in all of His glory. Ain't it going to be a wonderful thing? But there ain't nothing like getting in His presence, communion and talking and fellowshipping with Him. Then we can serve Him in sincerity and in truth. I want to challenge you this morning. Serve God. Walk with Him for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Some that'll be like Jocelyn, then will. Serve Him sincerely, right on to the end, for the glory of God. Would you stand with me?